Welcome, welcome, welcome. Scottish Watches Podcast, episode 36. Being recorded in this nice bank holiday just shows how devoted we are.
Are we doing it on the Friday or the Monday?
Oh, in terms of what bank holiday this is?
Yeah, I've been up for so long I can't remember what day it is.
It's definitely Monday, I can assure you it's Monday all day. But yes, you seem to, from what I understand, had what could best be described as a heavy weekend.
Look, actually, you're kind of on the money. I was going to say yes and no, but I was actually having a slight tipple on Saturday night and then was working Saturday during the day at a festival and then filming all day Sunday at a festival, so you're quite correct.
And we know you're a bit of a half-can Dan, so a little tipple's all it takes to tip you over the edge.
Well, the new thing that I'm into these days is Beau Violet Gin.
Alco Pops.
No, no. I have upgraded from Hooch and Mets from back in the day. So, yeah, gin is the new tipple of choice. So, that was it.
Gin?
Yeah. What's wrong with gin? Oh, it doesn't give you a hangover. You can tan, like, a full bottle. Only if fair enough, you get a little bit of amnesia, but no hangover. Give and take.
I wouldn't know anything about the subject.
Really?
Being that I don't drink.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there you go. I'm the guy that ends up having to run you all home.
Ah, right, I need to put your number in speed dial then.
Designated driver.
Designated driver. So yeah, that's what I was doing. I can't guarantee as to where I'll drop you off,
but I will drive you somewhere. Find yourself in a remote Scottish island somewhere.
Better than being beach. Taken into the woods with some rope, a sack and a spade. I don't know what you usually do. Oh,
that's a good film. Shallow Grave, that's a great film. I haven't seen that for a while.
No, neither have I. So, there we go. But yeah, I was filming this weekend. Basically, there's a gig called Stereo Funk happens every year over at Strathclyde Park. And the last few years, they've brought along all these dance acts of the past from the 90s and 2000s. So they had Technotronic, Entrance, Ultra Beat, TTF, and then your TTF are Scottish, but there's loads of Scottish guys like Malorca Lee, Ultrasonic, Rhythmic State, all those kind of guys, and it was mobbed, absolutely mobbed. And then Saturday, the day before, they had a kiddies thing on. Basically, they were just using the place to test it, make sure everything was working fine, and put some tribute acts on. So, great wee weekend, and that's why I've not been to bed yet. And it's 9 a.m. on a Monday morning.
All of those names you said about the bands, all I'm hearing is blah, 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 blah. I have no idea who you're talking about. There we go.
There weren't any gospel choirs there, so I didn't expect you to know much.
Hey, although, to be fair, we have had a response from our Drums and Watches shout-out last time.
Yeah, what's that all about then?
So we have been contacted by one of them,
right,
by Edwin McLachlan, who is in a band called Half Formed Things, which you will not appreciate.
No.
But they've got an album coming out soon, later on in the month. I think it's the 25th.
Right.
So check out, this is a shout-out, this is our official, we're going to music promo. Hodinkee, all these guys, they like to talk about cars. We're going down the music route. So, Half Formed Things, check them out. It's kind of high concept stuff, but
hymns?
Great. Have a look on them on YouTube.
Hymns?
Hymns? No, I don't think so. Well, no, I wouldn't say they're hymns. They're not hymns. They're definitely not hymns.
Okay.
There is some religious overtones, but I have no idea what religious angle they're coming from. But most music of any quality has some religious overtones. It's about death and angels and love and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
So what you're saying is Metallica, Iron Maiden, that's kind of religious as well then?
There are some great religious themes in some of these songs.
Hmm.
Have you never sat down with the gatefold and read through the lyrics?
I'd read the lyrics backwards to see what happens.
When was the last... Have you ever tried that? Have you ever actually put a record on and run it backwards to see whether there is actually anything there?
No. Have you?
I seem to remember that A Kind of Magic, they did that at the end of it. Where they do the whole fried chicken thing on the Queen album.
Was
I might
there
be
not
wrong.
Something in a Beatles track that if you played it backwards, it said, Paul is dead?
I don't know if that's one of these urban... I have heard that. I don't know if that's one of these urban myths.
Have you heard the urban myth that he was replaced by a lookalike?
I have heard that urban myth.
And Avril Lavigne as well.
In fact, rather bizarrely, I was reading about some Beatles quotes this morning, but that's another story.
Okay.
I did learn something really interesting, though, which has just sprung to my mind for absolutely no good reason.
Right.
Did you know, you cannot hum, so you cannot hum a tune while holding your nose. Go on, try it. And everybody at home, everybody in the car, I challenge you not to have just tried to hum a tune while holding your nose. So pinch your nose and try and hum a tune. Can't be done.
Did you know you can't lick your own elbow?
You can't.
No.
Can you? Oh, I'm trying that just now.
Try it.
Yeah, you're right. You can't. I don't know that I'd want to lick anybody else's elbows either, to be fair.
Okay, well, we shall just cut from that and move forward. So what were you up to this weekend?
I was cutting grass.
Well, I don't know if I was cutting people's grass. So you were cutting grass on the farm in your Lamborghini?
In my Lamborghini, yep. Mm-hmm. I was driving my Lamborghini around the fields cutting grass.
So have you done any like modifications or upgrades? Have you got like a race exhaust system on it or anything?
No, the only modification I've done is I have completely smashed up the rear windscreen, by which it spectacularly exploded on me. Not this weekend, it was a wee while ago.
Was there a spring bar involved in this?
No, there was no spring bar involved. But I had the back window fully open, and an implement hitched up to the back of it, and then I lifted the implement, and unfortunately, in the process of lifting the implement, it comes closer to you, and it caught the very edge of the glass, and the whole thing exploded. I am still picking bits of glass out of the nether regions of this tractor.
You're picking bits of glass out of your nether regions?
Out of the nether regions of the tractor. There's no bits of glass in my nether.
You shouldn't
regions.
Be using bottles in that way. I've told you about this before. Oh man! So
yeah, that was my fun weekend. So you've been giving it large with the hit axe of the pop world what did they used to call the charts? The hit parade. That's the phrase I'm looking for.
The hit parade.
From the hit parade of yesteryear.
Well, there was some modern ones as well, but it's predominantly kind of club classics. There's a lot of clubland things there as well.
But as we all know, modern music's all rubbish anyway, so...
It's all rehashed, so what can you do? But it was a great weekend, the weather was half decent, it didn't pish with rain, it was a little bit chilly at night, but everyone had a good time, nobody died, what more can you ask?
Yeah, that's a fairly basic tenet of going to...
If you can go to a Scottish
festival,
rave and survive,
nobody died.
It's a good day. And I didn't get arrested for anything, although I had a police dog sniff my balls, but that's just par for the course, isn't it? So what are you wearing on your wrist?
I am wearing a watch we've been sent.
Oh.
I am wearing a Sanguine Instruments watch, which I'm not going to say any more about it, because I want to look at it a bit longer and review it. But this is a watch from the States. The chap who makes it has a military background.
Mm-hmm.
First impressions, very, very nice. Presentation really good, but I want to give it a bit of a proper testing. It is also on one of the I want to say Zero Alpha. It's not Zulu Alpha, isn't it?
Zulu Alpha.
You need to edit that. On one of the Zulu Alpha straps that we were sent before, because it was the chap who was involved with Zulu Alpha that has arranged for this watch to be sent. So we will review it.
There's a funny story behind that.
The guy behind what?
I got a message from the guy from Zulu Alpha chatting away, and I'm replying, and he's chatting away, and I'm thinking, I must have had a lot of gin in the last month because I don't remember any of this conversation. And after about five back and forwards, he says, oh, it may have been the other Rick I was speaking to.
It is the problem with sharing an Instagram account.
It's also the problem having the same name.
Same name.
And it's an audio podcast that people can't see.
I've taken to signing my Instagram messages just R, just to confuse everybody.
Well, that's hopeless, because that's how I sign all the emails that go out.
Maybe it'll mean like one, you know, when you get caught speeding and there's two people in the car and everybody blames the other person for having driving, which means that none of you can get done. Maybe
how does that work
for us?
What kind of cars have you got? You get two steering wheels.
Who was driving your car? Oh, it wasn't me, the registered owner. It was somebody else.
I think they changed the law on that,
right?
Because too many people were doing that, and it was down to, well, the registered keeper should know who was driving the car, and if they don't know who was driving the car, they get hit with it, I believe.
All right, okay. But anyway, maybe that's a bit like with us. If we just sign everything R, then when we finally get blamed and held accountable for something, we'll be able to say, well, I don't know if it was me that did it.
Yeah, but we've got legal representation now, John, our pal from last week.
We have a top international entertainment lawyer. If only what we do could be considered entertainment, then we would be covered.
And you know what's really funny? For a guy that is a lawyer, very clever and switched on, after recording the podcast, he then messaged us both on WhatsApp and went, any chance you can remove this part, this part, this part and hide that part? So it's just more it's more fodder for the warehouse, for the blackmail
warehouse.
It'll be great
for the Christmas episode special, mm-hmm. or when we really want one of these guys that we interview to sell us their watch, that we really like. Well, for,
what I was thinking was we create a mailing list with all the people we've had on the show, and we then mail them out just before Christmas and say, okay, now you have to donate. We're doing a fundraising drive for Scottish Watches, and you have to donate money and holiday homes and watches, and if you don't, then the Christmas special is going to go out. Think of that idea.
That sounds like a great idea. I like that idea.
Good. I think we won't be getting any more guests.
Who do we think's got the best Christmas getaway from the Scottish winter? Matt Farah, probably.
Jodie.
Oh, Jodie. I'd like to go to.
Well, no, actually, yeah. At Christmas time, we'd want to be in Australia.
Sydney at Christmas time. A babby on the beach.
That would be pretty cool. Right, Jodie, better watch out. Are you going to ask me what I'm wearing, or are you just going to run with that?
Yes, I was just going to be ignorant and be done with it. But I don't care. Okay. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing. It's my wee stupid Casio thing, the Annie Digi, that I don't even know the model number, and Jodie does, off my heart. It was the wee 25 quid thing that's tough sold. Hold on, I'm taking it off so I can read the back of it. It is the AQ, can't read the back of it at all.
I was going to say, you can't read the back of those Casios in like anything other than like direct, you know, 50 miles from the sun type light.
Right, AQ. S800W. I've had laser surgery and I can't even read that.
I can hear the world just hitting their browsers now to find out what that is.
Check the show notes. You can buy it. I'm going to be a nice guy because you know that Scottish people stick together and whatnot. So I'm going to put Jodie's affiliated Amazon link in the show notes so people, when they buy it, can donate like 5 pence to him as well. That'd be good.
Get rich by 1,000 cuts of
exactly
pieces.
Exactly how it works. So that's the wrist checks out of the way, and I think we should do some watch content this week. We've been pretty good. We've been catching up with things. We've been talking more about watches instead of random pish. But
I think we've done not badly.
We have done not badly. And did you hear the news that unfortunately Roger Moore passed away?
I did.
Yeah, so I went looking online because I wouldn't say he was my favourite Bond, but I remember obviously being younger and Christmas time, all the Bond movies been on, and just thinking, cool. And then the gadgets. And did you know he was the first Bond that had a watch with gadgets in it?
Oh, right, okay, I didn't know that.
No, Sean Connery didn't. Although he had nice watches and the Rolex sub and the ill-fitting kind of NATO-esque band, it was Roger that first got Q Division to upgrade his watch. So it was his Rolex that had the buzzsaw cutting implement in it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And also, it was his watch. I would really quite be happy with having this at the moment. It was his watch that had a little magnet system in it that you can take girls' dresses off.
I knew that's who you were going.
That would be quite useful for me at the moment.
the spy, I think that's from The Spy Who Loved Me, isn't it?
Oh,
I think,
was
possibly.
It? Let me think. No, I think it was gonna say, Golden Gun.
Golden Gun. A Spy Who Loved Me is my favourite. I think it's actually my favourite Bond film.
Right.
And I think Roger Moore actually probably was my favourite Bond.
Oh, right.
Just because he was the one I grew up with. So, but Spy Who Loved Me was definitely just favourite Bond film ever.
It's a strange
one. To bring it full circle, just to show how on the nose we are,
right,
the Bond girl on that film is married to Ringo Starr.
Which one was that?
Mrs. Starr.
Mrs. Starr. Oh, yeah. The illustrious Mrs. Starr that starred in the Bond movies. So who was your favourite Bond girl, her?
Favourite Bond girl? I'm trying to think.
It's difficult, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's difficult to think.
I can't really... Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know. Probably. I mean, it's a favourite Bond film, so I suppose, yep, by default, she would be my favourite Bond girl.
Fair enough. And who was your favourite Bond villain?
Oh, Odd Job.
Really?
Although I do like Jaws. Jaws was nice as well.
Yeah, because I like the way that he turned good.
He came good in the end in Moonraker.
Yeah.
It was his final one.
But see, watching the movies as an adult again, and when he turns good because of the wee skinny blonde girl, I thought, she's going to be going to the hospital tonight.
Moving on.
Shocking. Well, not moving on, because there was a lot more watches that Roger Moore obviously had in the Bond movies.
Oh, right, okay.
The Pulsar LED.
Oh, I've forgotten about that.
That was one of the first outings in film and TV of that watch, because back then, obviously, there wasn't the quartz crisis and then the rebellion against it with the luxury mechanical watch Swiss timepieces. So anything new tech, boom, straight in the movies because it looks cool. So that one was out. And it was also, I think, Roger Moore that had the Seiko, that they've now got a Casio version that looks a bit like it, and they call it the Casio Royale. The world time.
Right.
Don't know if you've seen that one.
Not familiar with that.
Is that below your pay grade?
Yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
Okay. So yeah,
if it doesn't begin with A Lang and Zona, I'm not interested.
Fair enough. That's fine. Well, there is a really good webpage that I found on the interwebs, where it lists all the different Bond movies and the watches and their functions, and it's got video clips and stuff of them. So you can go and reminisce and check things out. And
So you've not actually personally done the hard graft of research of this. You've just cribbed it off of somebody else's website.
Well, see, for the last 10 minutes, you thought I really had, didn't you?
good.
Professionalism. So, yeah, he will be missed. R.I.P.
Yeah, I like Roger Moore. I liked him as Bond and some of the other films. I'm trying to think what other films
he was in. He was in The Saint, wasn't he?
Oh, now that Volvo. Now we're talking. Let's talk about Volvos. That's much more
Moving on. Moving on. Do they make tractors as well?
No, but Volvo means... they make earth-moving equipment, or they did. They still do. It's got a brand.
So did my mum and dad.
Volvo cars and Volvo trucks are now different things.
Fair enough.
I don't wish to know about your mother and father. Like you're really going lowest common denominator today. Is this because of lack of sleep?
No. Well, yes. Yes and no.
Well, no. No, but
I've had to film scantily clad girls all weekend. Well, no, that's not right.
Sunday. Bear in mind, you said that one of these days was. Mm-hmm. What, yeah. Okay.
Ricky, coming to Wolfpack Hunters near you soon. So, yeah. No, that was Sunday. That happened. It's the stuff some of these people wears, unbelievable.
No comment.
Shocking. shocking.
Anyway, so Roger Moore, yes, The Saint, that was a good show, like that. Mm-hmm. That was a childhood show. And can we talk about Volvos? So Volvos, the car he's... No, okay.
On you go. I'll give you 2 minutes.
No. It's okay. I was just... Because it's going to lead me on to a whole thing about who's the motorcyclist? Yorkshire guy.
Oh.
Motorcyclist...
Guy Martin. I think it is.
He's not the Coldplay singer, is he? That's Chris Martin.
Guy Martin, the guy that's got the accent, Martin. Sleeps in the back of a transit when he's out racing.
Absolutely brilliant. Yep. One of my favourite guys.
He's obviously been dropped in the head a few times, but yes.
I think of his own volition. But he had a Volvo estate car, which was effectively... I think it was legitimately the fastest accelerating car in the UK until he sold it. If you go and look that up, Guy Martin and Very Fast Volvo, Google that. Incredible thing.
How's about you do
just
that?
One of these... Sorry?
How about you do that and stick it in the show notes?
I will. Okay, but cool. Just in case somebody's so keen that they decide, actually, I'm just going to stop listening to these guys for 2 minutes while I look on Google. Because, that happens.
Do you actually know how show notes work? See, in the pod player, like iTunes, mm-hmm. if somebody's listening to it, they just have to lift their phone up, look at the screen, press the link at the top of the thing, and it'll take it right to the page of the show notes, and then they can find all the stuff we're talking about.
Oh, is that what I'm spending my time doing? Is that how it works?
Magic. Great. That's the whole point.
It's magic.
But there must be something over in Ayrshire with Volvos, because one of my pals stays in Troon, and he is Volvo daft. He's actually got a Volvo, it's not a T5, but it's whatever they based the sporty T5 on, and he's made it up to look like a police car.
The answer to your question is yes, there is a reason why people from Ayrshire are obsessed with Volvos. That's because there used to be an enormous factory that built them in Ayrshire.
There we go then.
So there you have it.
So maybe up in Dundee everyone wears Timexes, is that what you're telling me?
Everybody wears Timexes and D's, drives Volvos in Ayrshire, or Massey Ferguson's, because they used to make Massey Ferguson's in Ayrshire as well.
Right.
They don't anymore.
Fair enough.
There you go.
That's good. Are we done talking about Volvos yet?
Yeah, we're done talking about Volvos. Let's talk about our accents.
Why?
Because we've had two, probably one of them is probably the best message we have received to date on our Instagram. I'm going to need to move away from the microphone for a second here to look it up, because I'm realising that while it's in my notes, it's actually at the back of my notes. So let me just rustle. I shall give you some sound effects of rustling papers.
Well, basically what you're saying is you've realised that you don't have a functional memory system. You can't remember what the guy wrote.
That is also true. Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to get right and actually give a proper shout out to his... Well, actually, I don't know what his... Oh, no, I do know what his Instagram is. So his Instagram handle is at PZMNSL.
Right. Is that a ham radio thing?
You're listening to us. You want me to do so? It is Papa Zulu Mike November Sierra Lima.
Yeah.
Is his handle, because you'll never understand our accent saying PZMNSL, let's face it.
And what I was asking you was, does that sound like a ham radio operator's handle? Is that what that is? I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it maybe sounded like it was a scam initially.
Yeah, I thought it was a spammy thing
that
too.
That it was a spam. It was a spammy address. But anyway, he sent us a message. His message was this: "Congratulations, gents. You've created a Watches podcast that isn't dead." It actually says "isn't dead full."
I know.
What I think he means is "isn't dead dull."
No, dreadful.
So, well, he gets isn't dreadful. Dread, you think it's dreadful? Oh. All right, no, well, it says dead fool, so it's either that isn't dead dull or isn't dread fool. It could be either.
So he can't understand us, we can't understand what he's writing.
That's true.
Game on.
I wonder if he realises that. Game on, yeah, anyway. So I will interpret for what I think he meant to say. So congratulations, gents. You've created a Watches podcast that isn't dreadful. Question, have you considered recording them in English? Cheers. We have put the boot in, boy. Well, but I thought that was very funny.
Did I send you my reply to him?
Well, I suggested a reply you should send to him from a English Scots dialect generator. But no, you can. What did you actually send him?
Well, that I think it was an email that came. Was it an email that came in that I forwarded to you?
It was an email that you forwarded to me.
So I replied to it and said, "Thanks for listening. We thought about doing it in English, but we didn't want it to sound like TGV. Okay, ciao."
Very good. Has he replied, or is he still trying to work out what it says?
No, but he followed me on Instagram, and that's when I realised that it wasn't a fake account with just a random gibberish of pressing keyboard buttons and email address.
But it was legit.
It was legit.
Anyway, the other one received from ATX Watch R. So ATX Watch and then an R on the end.
Mm-hmm.
Was this? I listen to all your podcasts. Remind me of when I was there a year ago. I think he's in the States and has been to Scotland.
Your farm.
And I'll admit it took two episodes to figure out one of you was saying Omega as opposed to Ho-ma-ga. Good stuff, by the way.
No, you've read that in your own voice. What he meant was Omega and Omega.
Omega. Yeah.
Same thing, guys. Same thing.
I think he was having a go at you personally.
Doubt it. It'll be you. I'm the golden child.
So
I get away with everything.
If you want to send us some abuse about our accents and what it sounds like we're saying versus what we're actually saying, then yeah, message us. We'll read you out.
You will.
We'll give you a shout out.
Definitely.
There we have it.
So
definitely.
Well, here's a question for you.
Okay.
You know how we're talking about getting guests on, and I mentioned we've got a guest coming on from a blog to watch?
Yes.
What's the guy's name?
Ariel.
Uh-huh.
Adams.
Well done.
Uh-huh.
No, I was hoping you were going to get snared in my trap there, but you didn't.
What was your trap?
Well,
I could see there was a trap being set, I just didn't know what it was, so was taking my teeny time.
You were really thinking about that there. So, in the last episode, which I have just finished editing and uploading, so that's why it's very fresh in my mind, I'm listening to it with the headphones on, and you're talking about Ariel, and you called him Ariel Atom.
Ariel Atom, no, that's a different guy.
No, that's a car.
Is Ariel Atom his thingy's husband? He's a photographer, watch photographer.
No.
Have I completely got lost the plot here?
No, an Ariel Atom is a car. It's a sports car.
Oh, I realise that. Uh-huh. But is there not also a person called Ariel Atom? Maybe I've got... Who's the guy? What's the name? The name of the guy? His surname is Atom. And he's married to Catherine McGilvery. Is it Catherine McGilvery? Who is the red bar person? What's his name? People are shouting at the radio.
Oh, no, we're not doing that again, are we?
I can hear the abuse coming through. Right, okay. I've not got my phone handy. So look it up. He's the guy that takes a lot of the good photography for Red Bar.
Atom Moore, you fud.
Atom Moore. Oh, brilliant. Ah, that's epic.
Oh, God.
And everybody can now calm down that we're shouting at the radio. And I'm talking about you, Floatlight.
Yeah.
you can calm down now. Okay, so let's get this clear. There is a guy called Ariel Adams.
Uh-huh.
There is a car called the Ariel Atom.
Yes.
And there's a photographer called Atom Moore. Uh-huh. And then there's Roger Moore. Look what we did there. We did a good thing.
And I think I'm going to actually take a clip of the last episode and pop it in here just so people can hear you being a fanny.
I have to say, I do like the look of the 42 mil. Did you read Ariel Atom's article on the 42, what he called the FU watch?
Nothing new there then.
Nothing new at all. Right, there's probably some more watch stuff we can talk about.
There is some more watch stuff.
But before that, so, I've got something to tell you. I got a message on one of the online dating app thingies.
Right, okay.
No, I just found it funny, and you might not find it funny because
you're a
religious type person. So,
okay,
it's on one of the apps where the girl has to message you first, because what happens is these online... I gave you a quick course. This is like phase two, you know, lesson two.
Okay, right, okay.
Most apps, guys and girls can message each other once they match or whatever, but on this one, the girl has to go first. Otherwise, it's a sausage fest. When a girl matches, it's just boom, 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 boom.
Stalkers unite.
Yes. Okay. So the girl on this one sends a message first, and usually they just say simple things like, hey, hi, what's happening? How was your weekend? What are you up to? Usual stuff. But this one used an opening line on me, and she said, retro question, what was your favourite board game as a child? So I replied back and said, Ouija board. I've not heard from her since.
I was going to say, have you heard from her since?
Nope.
Okay, I mean, 10 out of 10 for humour, but she's clearly humourless, so you want to avoid.
Oh, okay. I'm still waiting for you to set me up with one of those lovely people that you may know, one of your farmhands.
I'm letting you nowhere near anybody that I know ever.
Listen, I've already been through half of Ayrshire.
You will never meet any of my friends. This relationship is strictly carried out over the medium of the internet. We will never meet. We'll be like EMG watches who have never met.
Okay, fair enough.
We will never meet. We'll only talk online.
Fair enough. Okay.
Right, so proper news. Okay, there's a bit of a circle here. So, watches of Switzerland.
Not egg timers of Ethiopia.
Not egg timers of Ethiopia or digital watches of Argentina. Okay. Watches of Switzerland have announced they're going public. So, Brian Duffy, who is the Scottish CEO of Watches of Switzerland, has said that within 5 to 6 weeks they're going to go public. Now, that explains a couple of things. First of all, it explains why Watches of Switzerland seem to be permanently on my stream of all things marketing, watches, etc. So they're building themselves up for an IPO. Now, as I understand it, I think the company that owns them, which is a investment house, a private equity type firm, I think they're selling 25% stake in the company, something of that ilk. So not a majority stake. Obviously, they're trying to get some of their investment back, go on and invest in other things. So that's all good. But this also ties in, I think, to a Hodinkee story, who were, as usual, incredibly slow in the uptake, which is unusual for them, actually, when they're talking about business. They reported this week about how imports from Switzerland to the UK had gone through the roof when the Brexit date was due, March, April time. Now, that's fine. What they've missed, however, is that has also coincided with an enormous decline in watch sales in the UK. So a whole load of people have bought an enormous amount of stock at the turn of the year from Switzerland. So that's, I would assume, excludes brands such as Rolex, because that's just not the way they're marketing. You know, you get what you're given. You can't suddenly go on to Rolex and order a whole lot more, unless it's day dates, presumably. So excluding Rolex, that's going to be not, you know, very expensive brands, but not easy to move brands necessarily if you happen to be overstocked. And then the bottom seems to have fallen out of the market at the turn of this year. And now Watches of Switzerland are going public. So it will be interesting to see if anyone joins the dots on all of this, and as to whether this turns out actually to have been good timing for a major retailer to go public after the first quarter of UK, which is where they get the majority of their revenue from, has fallen so dramatically. So watch this space. Boom, boom. We'll see what happens. But there might be some very good deals going on a lot of watches, because they've bought stock which was effectively last year's model, so 2018 SIHH and Basel releases. They've had delivered an excess quantity of them in December, and now all of the 2019 SIHH and Basel releases are going to start hitting the shops in 6 to 8 weeks' time. You've also got Omega with all of their...
Omega.
You say Omega, I say Omega. Let's definitely call the whole thing off. Are going to start hitting very, very soon. We've already had some information, got some more this morning on someone who's even managed to place an order for the limited edition Moonwatch that's about to be launched. So fun and games about to happen there. So yeah, all of this new stuff's about to release and someone's sitting on a whole load of stock of old stuff. So there we go. So sorry, I interrupted you.
No, not at all. There's a couple of things there. That was tied in a little bit to some information that I'd seen, that Watches of Switzerland were aiming to generate £1 billion worth of sales for 2021. So I read that and thought, well, they probably don't want to be deleting people off all their waiting lists, do they? That might help.
I suppose if you wanted to increase your sales by 25%, the 25% of the people you've removed from your waiting lists would maybe be a good start as to where to find these additional sales.
I mean, they should just hire me. I could really turn their business around.
I think you and Tim Mosso should just become the international watch hit brigade.
Yeah.
Going around sorting out all these brands.
But on a note, when you were talking there about buying up things, and you'd mentioned Rolex Datejusts and whatnot. See, the normal people, members of the public who aren't into watches, or they aren't into watches yet, if I was to walk into a shop and I saw things for sale, like T-shirts, jeans, trainers or whatever, I would walk in, see what was available, look and see, try something on and buy it. So people that walk into Rolex ADs and they see Datejusts, they see Oyster Perpetuals, they see Air Kings or Explorer Ones, do they not just walk up and go, I want to buy a Rolex, this is what's available, I'll have that one.
Absolutely, and that is a very interesting point and a very under-commented on point, so let's comment on it here, which is you're dead right. The 5% of us that actually know that Rolex produce all of these other things versus the 95% of people who've just decided for a special occasion or because they've come into some money or they want to treat themselves that they're just going to go in and buy a Rolex will go in and buy
a
whatever
Rolex.
It is that's in stock. They'll just go and buy a Rolex.
Mm-hmm.
They're not bothered that there's not a Batman there or a Skydweller. They don't know anything about them because they're not in stock, they're not in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you wander into a shop and didn't know the first thing about the depth of range that was available for a company like that, and you saw trays and trays and trays of Datejusts and Day-Dates and these kind of watches, and you saw a couple of Skydwellers and a Batman sitting beside them, you would probably look at those watches and go, oh no, I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is that they are an acquired taste. You need to be largely into the hobby before you go, actually, no, I can understand why that is actually pretty cool. I mean, I remember when I first got into this, looking at everybody chatting about APs and Royal Oaks and just going, who on earth would buy a watch that looks like that?
Apparently us now.
And apparently, and you know, but 6 months later, I'm like, oh no, that's just the coolest thing ever, a Royal Oak. Whereas when I started off this, you'd look at it and go, no, that's just horrible. Why would you buy a watch that's, you know, that's not round?
Mm-hmm. I had exactly the same thoughts. This is really strange because we do have very similar tastes in certain types of watches. And I was exactly the same. I looked at the Royal Oak and thought, no. And then a couple of months later, I looked at it and thought, that is so funky and futuristic and doesn't look like anything else that's out there. Then I learned it was made in 1972 or something. So
yes.
I was just thinking about it there, obviously, because we talked about it. And a friend of mine got in touch because he saw on my Facebook that occasionally I will post up about watches or going to Geneva or whatever, Basel. Don't rub it in people's faces, we've talked about it before. You know, don't tell the normies what you're up to. And he messaged me and says, hey, you know about watches, I'm thinking of getting a Rolex. What should I get? And because he was a normal guy, I said, go and look at the website and see what you like. And he picked a Datejust.
Uh-huh.
And to him, that was a Rolex. Datejust and Presidents and all those things are what you see in the movies nowadays.
Absolutely.
Or TV nowadays. Subs, I can't really remember seeing them recently. Maybe back in the 70s and 80s, it was GMTs and things like that.
Yeah.
But it is. It's Datejusts. And like you said, the Skydwellers looks like a Datejust with the same bezel and whatnot. So for normal people, they must just walk in and buy things. And if I was brought up looking at Datejusts and then somebody showed me a Hulk or a Batman, I probably wouldn't be interested either because they look kind of chunky.
Absolutely.
You know, they're the tool watch. They're not what you think of when you think of the glitz and the glamour and the prestige. So.
And so while we are all complaining about Rolex's lack of supply, that's because we represent the absolute nerdville
mm-hmm.
of the watch industry. Rolex know exactly what they're doing. They're selling stuff that sells.
Yeah.
Okay, so they could produce X amount more Pepsis and Batmans, and yes, they would sell, but only for so long. because there's only so many people, A, that can afford them, and B, that would buy them until they were everywhere. So Rolex know exactly what they're doing. They can produce day dates, presents, date just, and as many different designs, colours, multi-tones, as they like, all sorts of special, put diamonds on them, all the rest of it, and they will sell them all day long to Joe Schmo, who just fancies, or his wife, or his girlfriend, or his boyfriend, or whatever, just fancies buying a watch for his wife, his husband, whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. And they sell them, and they sell billions of dollars worth of them. Was it $11 billion?
No, it was a figure I heard, Rolex?
So, they know what they're doing. But no, it's a very interesting point you make, that actually we need to always keep in mind, to my mind, two things. We are nerds, mm-hmm. and we are talking to a very small percentage of people who buy watches.
Yeah.
And B, that China is incredibly large market in comparison to what's actually going on in Europe and in the States and going into the future. The opportunities out there are vast, so the resources that are being played out there, we have no understanding in Western Europe about how big some of these markets potentially are and already are in some of these cities. You know, the cities in China with millions of people in them that you have never, ever heard of. And they're setting up ADs for all sorts of brands over there as fast as they can go. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there we go.
Okay, well, let's take the Rolex chat and put that to the side. Now we've got our Google juice sorted, and let's talk about G-Shocks.
Oh, right, okay.
There's a couple of new, well, there's always new G-Shocks coming out, but there's a couple of new limited edition G-Shocks out. Have you seen these? They're skeletonized kind of translucent numbers.
I don't think I have.
They're not out yet. They should be out shortly. Right. So
Square-based or round-based?
One of them is square. It is, okay. Let me think, it's similar to the one that we've got, which is a DW 5600 range.
Yep, something like that.
So it's like that, and it's translucent. And I'm not really interested in that because I've got one of those type already. And they've also got the GA 700, which is more of a round one, more of a modern design. It's got more like LED bars and charts and things moving around. So the sort of squarey one is $120, and the more round one is $130, and that is their limited edition releases for the moment. So
cool.
I will send you some links. You can pop them in the show notes, but I'm going to go and place my order first because the limited edition, obviously, and I want one.
So it's a limited edition available here. It's not a Japan release only that you're having to order from one of the Japanese websites.
No, I saw it on the gshock.co.uk website.
I've never been a big fan of the round G-Shocks, I have to say. It's always the rectangular ones that I like. The round ones, just never been a particular fan of. You've got the red ones round, isn't it, that you've got?
Yeah, I've got the red out 35th anniversary edition that I picked up last year, which is round. That's nice. But cool. I do prefer the silver. I wish it was silver. The full metal one that we both got last year. Did you see the photo I put on Instagram the other day?
Oh, of your Glasgow shower?
Yeah, I did that as well, didn't I? No, it wasn't that. It wasn't my six pack of extra large links that I bought from eBay after our chat. No, it was the one from yesterday.
No.
You don't pay much attention to anything really, do you?
No, to be fair, I'm mostly asleep.
Well, I was heading back home on Sunday morning, it would be Saturday night into Sunday morning. And I tried to time my departure so that I would arrive at McDonald's to miss the breakfast menu, but I didn't. And I get caught in the drive-thru and it hadn't changed yet. So I had to come through the drive-thru with an Egg McMuffin, eat that, and wait 15 minutes for it to change over so I could go through and get my chicken selects. And I was waiting there and I held up my wrist just in front of the McDonald's drive-thru and took a shot, and it was like the most popular post on our page on Instagram. I think it was like hundreds of likes. So yeah,
what's the film, the Michael, is it Downfall?
I've seen that film, yeah,
with Michael Douglas. Is that not the Michael Douglas film where he goes in and he trashes the thing that breaks, the straw that breaks the camel's back is the breakfast menu ceasing at McDonald's or Burger King or whatever it was.
I'm going to have to watch that again. That was a good film.
I seem to recall it being quite a good film, and he just goes absolutely berserk from that point on. So you were having a reverse downfall. You wanted the breakfast menu to end.
Yes.
So you could get your... I didn't realise that the... I honestly didn't know that the... I mean, I can't remember the last time I ate at McDonald's. I mean, it would be like 15 years ago.
Looking at you, it looks like 15 minutes ago.
It might, shut up. It might even be longer than that since I last ate at McDonald's. Mm-hmm. I didn't realise that, I mean, I knew that the breakfast menu ended, but I didn't realise that when the breakfast menu was on, you couldn't get anything else.
They send one of the wee wifies out to turn the billboards round as you're driving into the drive-thru with all the other stuff on it.
I didn't realise it was exclusive.
Yeah.
All right, okay. There you go. Every day is a school day.
It is indeed. Well, if anyone wants to know, 10:30 in the morning is when it changes. It changes at 5 in the morning and 10:30. So when I used to like DJ in the nightclubs and we would finish up and then we'd have a party or whatever and then we'd head out or head home, we always tried to make sure we got to McDonald's before the shitty breakfast menu got on because it's useless.
I just couldn't eat at McDonald's. Burger King at a push. It just makes my skin crawl. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll make your skin crawl really bad. I'll tell you what I ordered yesterday. So I was stuck in the queue, and I got my double sausage egg McMuffin meal. Had that to start with a Diet Coke.
Gordon.
Went through, sat in the car park.
A Diet Coke. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay. Apart from the why have a Diet Coke? Why not just go the whole hog and have a full fat Coke?
Because that's just empty calories from sugar. At least you're getting protein and fats from the McMuffin. And I don't eat the bread because that's really bad for you. Bread is a killer. Get rid of it, guys. So I had that, sat in the car park, ate that, then went back through, got my chicken select. I got my Aero peppermint McFlurry. I got my cheesy nacho bites and a caramel frap.
Oh, dearie me.
You like the sounds of this?
Do you know what the total calorie count of that would have been?
Astronomical. But have you seen the size of me? It doesn't seem to stick.
I haven't seen the size of you in the last 48 hours. It may have changed somewhat.
Well, just look in a mirror.
Oh, dearie me. So. Blimey. And you didn't just go home and vomit it all straight out.
No, I had things to do. I had stuff to do.
My gastric band just wouldn't cope with that.
Get an elastic one. So that was my little adventure yesterday, and then posted a wrist shot outside McDonald's holding it up, and it was like a minute and a half to go. And people seem to appreciate that and say it was a kind of first world problem, which it probably is.
Yeah, it certainly is. Countdown to destruction.
Yeah.
Just bring us full circle.
Ironic, first world problem on a wristwatch Instagram page. There you go. First world problems.
Although I would just like to point out that we still have more YouTube subscribers than Clockbait and Not So Ordinary Watches channel. So they've, although interesting, there when last I looked, and I've taken screenshots, so I'll put it on the show, they both had exactly 88 subscribers. I think we had 133, and we don't produce any YouTube content. Mm-hmm. So come on, boys. Get your acts together. We try to push your channels as much as possible.
Yeah.
But who will win? Who will get to 100 subscribers first?
Yeah, but that Aussie guy seems to be on a mission to like critique everything I do. You noticed that? he wrote a comment on one of the last episodes saying, no, Ricky, I have to comment and say, you know, in the last podcast you said, you know, Rolex probably wouldn't commit to something multi-year at Basel. Well, you know, in actual fact, it appears that they've committed to 4 years. And I thought, really? And asked him to show me where, and he gave me this link to Bloomberg, where it said that it had been commented at the show by an exhibitor that Rolex had committed to 4 years. And I can't find anything else on the internet, and I emailed Basel, and that seems to be a rumour. But hey, and they also misspelled his comment, but I didn't comment on that, you know, because I'm a nice guy, but hey, there we go. He's taking pot shots.
Come on, Pete, get your act together.
Come on, Pete, spell check.
Oh, don't do that, because he'll just come back critiquing all my grammar and spell checking.
Oh, that's the thing. He's like picking like one or two things I've got wrong. And every episode, I'm sitting there listening to you ramble pish. And you must be his best bud. You must have some kind of deal.
Mean Pete, strong bond. Mean Pete.
He's like your shill. He must be on your bankroll. Down at the farm, one of your farm hands.
That's it. That's what it is.
Cool.
Anyway, so go and check out both those channels because they are very good. I don't know why nobody's listening to them. Maybe actually we should shut up.
I know why.
Maybe we're putting folk off.
I know why.
Why?
I messaged the Clockbait guys a couple of days ago and said, what did I do? Oh no, I sent them a voice note on Instagram because I couldn't be bored typing it out. And I just gave them honest advice and said, your stuff's really good. Rick says you're not getting the views, and I don't know what the reason is, but it could possibly be that all your thumbnails are shit. And I got a voice note back, and I thought, well, here we go. And it wasn't what I thought. He was like, thanks for like pointing that out, because most people on YouTube and on Instagram will just go, great show, guys, thumbs up. So I had a wee chat with him on the phone and said, you know, make your thumbnails a bit better. If you're talking about a certain type of watch, put the watch in it. Don't have you guys sitting at a desk, because every episode it's you guys sitting at a desk with text over the top. That doesn't catch people's eyes when they're scrolling down. I mean, the show notes for the last episode of the podcast we put out, I doctored a photo of Morph getting out a box and putting Omega logo on the top of it. Because that's more cool than just a photo of us with a bit of text, you know. Up your game, guys. I mean, my marketing services are available. Just email me for costs.
I was going to say, have we got billable?
We are watch marketers now.
Watch marketers. Come to us for all your podcast news, reviews, advice. We will help you produce your watch podcast.
I'm still waiting for Brian Duffy to get in touch, because their podcast quality of content is amazing. Quality of production is abysmal.
Well, interesting. They put out a podcast over the weekend, and it's like 6 minutes long or something. It's really weird. I was like, oh, I'm going to get into this, and it's really, really short. It's like, oh, okay. That was a bit of a waste of effort.
Well, no, when I listened to, they put two out, because there was one about the history of dive watches, and they must have all been using the same mic, because it sounds like Brian's at one end of the table, and then all the other staff are a bit closer, and they've got a girl on it that means they're really, really good. They're knowledgeable. It is great content. But the amount of ums and ahs and clonking noises and whatever happens, they just need to edit that out, and it would be brilliant.
Oh, clonking noises. All right, okay.
Yeah, that's you.
Right, YouTube channel. Now, what's it called?
No, that's you every episode of this before I edit it.
Oh, I know, but you edit that out. That's fine. I apologise in advance for the interference that might be about to happen, but I need to tell you this because this is hysterical. Hold on a second. I'm back at the microphone now. It's a group of guys who are clearly set out to do big things on... Disrupt the industry.
Cut out the middleman.
That'll be the one. And they have they're clearly got their, you know, eyes on the prize of mirroring Hodinkee, stroke a blog to watch, all these things. A few of them have come from big industry backgrounds, and the Watch With Us Media, they put out their first live show. It's about an hour and a half long. You need to watch it. It is hysterically bad. I mean, the content's fine, but they're clearly recording it on like a plywood desk, and every time there's one guy on the left hand side who keeps on throwing his watch and his mobile phone around, and every time he does it, the thunk that it gives through the audio is unbelievable. You need to watch it. And somebody goes on the live, somebody who will rename nameless, goes on to the live stream comment and says, for goodness sake, will you stop throwing stuff on the table? And you can hear the producer in the background also saying to the guys, will you stop throwing stuff on the table, because it's making a noise. And they just keep on doing it, and every 20 seconds the guy on the left's throwing his mobile phone. He's just a fidget, basically. He's like me, he's just a fidget.
He's on the spectrum.
But you need to have he's on the spectrum. You need to have a look at it. It's very, very funny. I mean, the content's fine, but the noise is shocking. So there you go. If you want, we're talking Caitlin's scale turned up to 11. There we go.
Okay. Well,
Caitlin,
I mean,
meets.
We're already speaking to a couple of people that have got in touch about podcasting and doing their own kind of take on things. So if anyone is looking for advice, unpaid advice or paid advice or help, give us a shout, because we're quite happy to sort of critique and give you, we'll be honest, we'll be brutally honest and tell you what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. We're not doing this right. We could be doing a million things better, but we're trying to improve all the time. But there's another podcast that I'm subscribed to that I hadn't listened to yet, and you could not wait to get in touch and say, Ricky, go and listen to this. It is shocking. Do you want to tell the listeners about that?
Oh, which, so is this podcast or YouTube channel?
This was an interview with a guy from Hampton Watches on Our Time.
Our Time. Oh, unbelievable. I mean, so the Our Time podcast, I think, must have been one of the originals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like...
2009, 2010, I think it was.
And I think Ariel Adams... or Atom Moore or Roger Moore or somebody.
Or Atom Ant.
Was one of the original. Atom Ant was one of the original guys on it. Is that right?
Yeah.
So my research said. Anyway, so it ran for years. And then about 2 years ago, it basically stopped. And then there would be one every 3 months. And I think there was a whole year past that there was only one.
We do one every three days.
Yeah, so they've tried to resurrect it in the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks maybe.
Right, okay.
And they've got, I think one of the original guys, they've got a guy from Hawaii that's on it, and another chap. I've not listened to them enough to just kind of get the, obviously for our channel, it's easy. We're all just called Rick.
Make it simple.
It's fine, but make it simple. Make it simple, stupid, that's what they say. So the... Or keep it... Actually, that's not what they say. What they say is keep it simple, stupid. Kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. So anyway, these guys... So although actually on their podcast, I think one of them is also called Richard. I think that's right, actually. I think the guy in Hawaii is called Richard. Mm-hmm. So we're getting everywhere. We're just putting on accents. Anyway, they got the guy on from Hampton Watches, who's based down in Southampton. That's why they're called Hampton. And he's all right. I've heard him on a few podcasts, but he goes on this podcast and it's really, really weird. It is like...
It's dry.
So dull. It is the dullest thing I've ever heard. But I don't know why, because all of them are actually okay, but collectively, it just disappears. I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. It might have been a time zone thing because they were all knackered, but it's almost funny because it's almost as if they mean it, but actually they didn't.
No.
So
it's really strange because...
It's really weird.
The questions were... I mean, the guy, he knows how to ask questions. I don't have any training about this kind of stuff, but when we have a guest on, we manage to fumble our way through. We ask open questions... About. And thankfully, I mean, this also made me realise that our guests have been fantastic because we can say something like, how did you get into watches? And they could say, oh, my dad bought me one. And whereas, you know, our guys are very passionate. Everybody we've had on, they've had a great chat about things. They've told us their story, their history, what they're interested in, what they're buying, what they love. This guy, he was asked open-ended questions and he was given three-word answers. And then there was this silence and then you could hear papers getting ruffled. And the guy was saying, right, I need to go and let the dog out for a piss. It was all kinds of weird stuff going on. And I'm thinking, do these guys not edit anything?
It was very odd because the guy from Hampton's fine. I've heard him on plenty of their podcasts. I think he was on Two Broke Watch Knobs actually,
right.
And he was fine there. So it's not him. Something just did not commute. I don't know. Something just didn't add up. So I don't know. It was almost as if it was one of these ones that they had asked all the questions on paperwork and then recorded it as segments and then merged it all back together. But it's not. It was recorded live, and it sounds like they've just not edited it.
Yeah. No, they did edit it, but they edited it badly because at the end the music comes in and then the guy's talking and then the music volume just ramps straight up. So I think they've got a work experience guy in or something. But yeah, if you want to listen to some car crash podcasting, go check that one out.
Not just us.
Go and listen to that one before our next podcast because we will just sound so good.
Oh yeah, it'll make us sound like, it'll make us sound good.
Superstars. Podcasting superstars. Watch podcasting superstars. There we go.
Yeah, there we go. So that was our little introspection this week.
Yes.
One thing I'd like to speak about, because he is coming up on the podcast, we are interviewing him this week, and he will no doubt mention it, is a thing called Watchmakers Club Summer Event. And I've booked you a ticket, Ricky. So you are going.
Because you go nowhere.
Like it or not. Because I go nowhere.
Am I speaking? Am I the keynote speaker for Watchmaking?
You're the keynote speaker. I have booked you a stand for Watchmakers Club Summer Event. You can get a free ticket from Eventbrite. It is being held on the 6th of June. It's a Wednesday in London, and it is full of a number of UK-based, I think there'll be some international guys as well, watchmakers, watch producers. So we are interviewing Nick, or number four as we call him, from Fears later in the week. Fears will be there, but so will a number of other UK-based guys. So check that out. Seeing as Salon QP is not happening, this will be the regular one. There is that
Horologicon
thing that's happening, the Horologicon that no one's quite sure what's happening yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Watchmakers Club event, check them out. They've got an Instagram at Watchmakers Club, I think, and they've got a website. Just Google it and you'll find all the information. But no doubt Nick will speak about it when we interview him later in the week for a podcast coming later in the month.
Well, remember John from the last episode was talking about the Watches TV YouTube channel?
Yes,
and
Mark.
I've met him and messaged back forward about other things in the past. Well, I've mailed him as well to ask if he would like to come on as a guest. So hopefully he comes back to me. But the latest edition of Watch Prime Time on their channel, because they've got different names for different shows, it was really good. And obviously it takes a lot longer to produce video content than for us to sit down, record something, and then edit it to make it sound good. And he basically covered most of the topics we've covered over the last couple of weeks with the same opinions. He mentioned the Salon QP thing not happening, and then alluded to the fact there's more going on behind the scenes than they're telling you.
Yes.
So.
And we're all for getting people on the show that agree with us.
Totally. So that Aussie guy, he can just stay in Australia.
Oh, which Aussie guy are you speaking about?
The one that disagrees with me. I can't believe it.
Are we touching on, has it been given a gate yet? Because that's when you know it's serious.
We're not talking about that.
Because
no.
It started off as Bremont Gate, and it's kind of got a bit more serious.
We spoke about this in the pre-show. We're not going to talk about this.
Oh, no. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. I want to give it a name, though. It needs to be given a name.
BJ Gate.
BJ Gate. Now, see, that only covers the BJ bit of it. It doesn't cover the Archie bit of it.
Luxury so BJ Gate.
It doesn't really ring. So what we want is a suggestion.
You're not biting, are you? That, you're okay? Not biting at all, yeah.
I'm not referring it to that. So what, for those of us, you all know what we're talking about, and we've said it's Archie, we've said it's Barking Jack, but we need a name for it. So
well, if you take Archie Luxury, so that's A Luxury BJ, a Luxury BJ.
I'm not putting that in the show notes.
You just watch.
Because you can't go a Lux BJ Gate. No. It needs to have a gate on the end of it because that's how it works. Okay. So it's a controversy or a controversy or a controversy or a whatever. Controversy. It's an argument and it's a dispute and there is right and wrong, good and evil. So it needs to be given a gate. Mm-hmm. So you, dear listener, needs to tell us what gate it should be called. It involves Barking Jack. It involves Archie Luxury, but it needs to be called a gate. So give us a gate and we will talk about it no more until it has a gate. Okay.
I thought I didn't want to talk about it because it's just ongoing and it's the same kind of stuff. And
absolutely,
yeah, it's soap operas for watch nerds like us. But hey, you know, Google it and you'll find stuff on their YouTube channels. Back and
absolutely, it's getting a bit dull, to be honest.
And it seems one sided.
Until it's got a gate, we shall speak of it no more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no! Talking of gates, because this will get a gate one day. I said to you to Google Swatch. Have you been on Swatch's? Have you been on Swatch's website recently?
Never.
No, okay. Go on the Swatch. You need to look at this. They have produced a Brexit Swatch.
Seriously?
It's very funny. It's very funny. For those of you that frequent the Swatch website, they do this design your own Swatch now, where you take a clear see-through Swatch. I think it's a System 51. And they give you a great big picture, and what you do is with your mouse you move the clear Swatch over the picture and it allows you at some point to say stop, and the image behind becomes the image that they will then print onto your Swatch. It's very clever, very good. I've not ordered one, but I've seen some. Very good. They have produced an image on the background now, because they've previously been kind of artistic things, cartoons. They've produced a background image which is to do with all things Brexit, and it's like got random dates, and the question is, when will Brexit happen? And it's got dates in the background like 2093 or 9010 or exit or not exit and all this. You can get your own image. It's very funny. I don't know whether... I assumed it was an April Fool, but it's not April the 1st. Maybe April Fool's Day happens in some other territories different, but it's well worth a look. It's quite amusing for all of those of a particular political leaning.
Perfect.
So have a look at that. One other thing, and I kind of any other business, the Watchbox app has been updated. It would appear. It's now working slightly differently in terms of the news feed.
Okay.
So have a look at that. That's pretty cool.
Excellent.
Have a look at the new Watchbox app.
Good. Well, that was a nice little uplift at the end there. So we're already running just up to an hour, and we know how listeners like this to just be an hour or under. So do you want to let the good people know what's happening, what we're up to, and how to find out about things?
Do I not tell them first that you tell them where to go?
Yeah, I did that last week. We alternate. It's your turn.
Do we?
Yep.
Okay. So I will tell you where to go. Where you should go is to the website, www.scottishwatches.co.uk. You can see all the latest news in written form there. subscribe to the website, we'd be really keen to have you subscribe to the YouTube channel, because a surprising number of people are listening to us via YouTube. So they're clearly either subscribers to YouTube, to the YouTube facility that allows you to listen to the feed offline, or are just sitting at a computer. And so actually, I actually genuinely find for those that produce a mix of podcast and YouTube that it's actually easier to listen to it on a PC sometimes via the YouTube feed rather than a podcaster. So yeah, do check out the YouTube channel. It's exactly the same as the podcast. Other than that, listen, subscribe, live, thrive and survive and all the rest of it.
Instagram.
To our content. Instagram at Scottish Watches. You all know this stuff. Can I not just record this and we can press play?
No.
No, do I have to say it again?
I need a Rick soundboard that I just press buttons and it goes all the time. Or good stuff. Or moving swiftly on.
Good stuff, moving swiftly on. Anyway.
Anyway.
Oh dear. Anyway.
Also, tell me about the Facebook page, because you actually look after that sometimes.
I do occasionally look after that. We have a Facebook page. You were going to put out a poll about a Facebook group. We've not done that yet.
Sugar.
As to whether we should have one. Anyway. Good. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye. Oh.